Terry Savage joins us on Wednesdays. It's Wednesday. Here's the nationally syndicated financial columnist with lots to say about the Fed and Bitcoin and gold. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm still giggling about Barbie turning 65.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard about the baby boomers turning 65. I actually, many years ago, met Ruth Handler, who, along with her husband, Elliot, created Barbie.
Oh, nice.
Started Mattel.
Yeah.
Their nephew actually was one of my very first clients when I was a stockbroker. Way, way, way before Barbie ever thought anybody thought she would turn 65. And who made that wise comment in the news? Who was that? I just caught that. I was too, that Barbie should wait till she's 70 to take Social Security.
Yeah.
Yes, I think I might have to write a column that says, Barbie, wait till you're 70.
See,
I can see it coming.
That's, you know, to me, that would be the sort of play off the news. It would get more attention.
Mm-hmm.
What do I know about writing a column? But that sounds like a good idea.
I love it. I'm just still giggling at the idea that Barbie is 65.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm giggling or crying, but there it is.
Yeah, there you go.
So what's this business about gold being at an all-time high, and what does that mean?
This is really interesting. I've been a fan of gold always. I always have at least 5%. Of my money in gold. Right now, I'm looking, gold is trading at 21.53, an all-time high. Yesterday, it was an all-time high. I never had gotten above 20.99, really above 2100. Now, look, that's really exciting and interesting news about gold, but I do remember in 2009 at the bottom of the market, buying gold coins safely in a vault, don't come and hit me over the head, when gold went under $900 an ounce. So gold has about doubled since the bear market lows. The stock market has more than tripled, almost quadrupled, since the bear market lows back in 2009. So despite the fact that we even had that big thing of inflation 2 years ago and last year, gold didn't do anything. So, you know, I was really thinking, gosh, I thought I'd live to see the day when gold would be a really great story and I could talk about all the gold. You know, I own the gold ETF. I own some mutual funds. As I say, it's about 5 to 8% of my portfolio. And it never happened. And it hasn't done nearly as well as the S&P 500 index. But here's what's happening out there. Central bank buying of gold has set records last year and the year before. Annual purchases of over 1,037 tons last year, and that was just about at the level of the record of 2022. And the People's Bank of China was the largest single gold buyer. And in last year, 2023, added the most additions since 1977. So the question is, the gold market at a very sophisticated level of central banks seems to be a diversification out of the dollar, which, as we all know, our economy, our national debt, all those things are huge problems, but they're lesser problems than the rest of the world has in that regard. So the dollar has always been the safe haven.
Yeah.
But the sniff of central banks buying out of concern for the dollar, you know, and also the political, I know you want to hit for a break here, but the political aspect of gold rising says something about what might happen in the future if the U.S. doesn't retain its role as a leader in the world in terms of defense as well as economics. And I think personally that's why gold is up.
Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist. She talked about gold, which is doing better, but not as good if those dollars just went into an index fund. And we could probably say the same about Bitcoin, too, right, Terry?
No. Nope. Please do not use the word investment in Bitcoin in the same sentence.
Uh-huh.
You can use Las Vegas. You can use crapshoot. You can, is that a legal word to use on radio?
Yes, you can.
I think that's a game. You can use speculation. You can use whatever you want. But I don't want to get into a fight about it. If you're kid wants to put a tiny bit of money into Bitcoin, there is a scarcity value, and there's some stuff going on. First of all, the ETFs that were legalized, and everybody's rushing in to buy these exchange-traded funds, which have to be backed by Bitcoin, so they are actually buying up Bitcoins. And then there's the halving, which is a technology term that'll happen to Bitcoin in April. So it's just getting a lot of publicity. And there's a limited amount of Bitcoin and only a few more, relatively speaking, to be created. So yes, I know all those things. I know all those things. If I want some action, I don't know. Racetrack, whatever else you choose. Look, Bitcoin made a new high yesterday, over 69,000, and then plunged a bit. Today it bounced back. Last I saw, let me just take a look. It was around 67,000. So, yeah, 67,000 right now. What I had against it at the beginning was that I worried that people in those days, you were buying it in these wallets at these things called exchanges, which weren't even really exchanges. And so I've always said that the blockchain technology will revolutionize the world. I'm not looking for the end of the dollar. There will be a digital dollar. I believe in all that stuff. But right now, you're just playing a game of who will buy from me at a higher price. And that's how all bubbles end eventually. But in the meantime, you can make or lose a lot of money.
Are you ready for some questions?
Yes, absolutely.
Every Wednesday, says 630, I pull out a pen and notebook and I wait for Terry's wisdom. 224 says 5% in gold of your money, Terry. Say you have $1 million, then you've got $50,000 in gold. Does that kind of money work better somewhere else?
Oh, well, in hindsight, yes. I wouldn't have owned any gold stocks or any gold coin. You know, I have gold coins in the vault that I bought when it was $65 an ounce. So I've always, I'll tell you a story. This comes back to mind when I was a young stockbroker. It was James Dines who wrote the Dines letter. I haven't heard of him in years. He wrote, this is a line, I just haven't thought about this in forever. When my girlfriend asks for a bracelet made out of paper, I'll know paper is as good as gold. So at a very young age, I worked for a man when I started out in the brokerage business as a registered secretary with all my college degrees and all that stuff. And he was a gold bug. So my very first stock was a gold stock. And I've always understood the problems with a government that's able to vote itself more money. And vote itself into power by promising more money and borrowing more money. I mean, I'm really very concerned about the national debt, but then guess what? I remember Ross Perot being concerned about the moment when it would go hockey puck, exponential growth, and we're just on the edge of that now with our national debt. The only thing that saves our dollar is that we're the least worst place in the world to put your money. So when the world goes crazy, people have come to the U.S. dollar. Now, there's a lot of concern right now, and I think the central banks are saying that, you know, how long can the U.S. keep being the last best resort? So that's why I think now more than ever at new highs, gold is something worthwhile having.
Yeah, but would you buy gold now?
Yeah, I think you could buy some gold now. Gold shares, the exchange-traded fund. I mean, I'm talking my own position. I've owned GLD as the exchange-traded fund. It's a breakout. New highs breed new highs. So, but the point is, I'm not thinking that the end of the collapse of the U.S. dollar is nigh. I've always thought it was a diversification, a small diversification. And could I do it? Oh, I mean, I wouldn't have any chicken money if I could look back and go back 20 years and say S&P 500 or chicken money. Well, of course, in hindsight.
I know, but I'm thinking of if you had money that you could say, okay, I'll put it in gold because maybe that'll be a hedge. Are there other avenues, real estate, other commodities?
Sure, that's the whole point. You never want to,
I know I have hindsight, but my question is, has gold served you well at all ever since you've been buying it? I wonder if gold has performed.
Yeah, absolutely. I've bought and sold gold and made profits, but I've always maintained a position. It has not served me as well, but I'm smiling because I'm thinking, you know, gold is supposed to go up when the stock market goes down. Well, that hasn't been the case. Gold has gone up with the stock market. Gold is supposed to go up when inflation goes up, but it didn't really quite go up over the last 2 years when we had real inflation scares, you know. I mean, the Fed was scared about inflation. Gold wasn't showing scare. So, but I am thinking, I'm thinking right now at 2150 thereabouts. I mean, not tomorrow afternoon or 3 months, but I'm thinking that the world is saying, wait a minute, what else is there besides the U.S. dollar? The Chinese, who have enough of their own problems, believe me, they do. You think we have problems? We're still growing. They're trying to make it at 5% when they were growing at 10 and 12%. So it, on the other hand, if China ever said, wait a minute, we have to sell our gold, that would be a depressing thing. They own a lot.
Sell our gold or sell our dollars.
But if the real issue is China holds a huge portion of its reserves. They're the second or third largest holder of our IOUs, Treasury bills, notes, and bonds, our national debt. Mm-hmm. They need the dollar as a reserve, but they've decided to diversify.
Okay.
And I think it's a signal worth noting. I never say buy this, buy that, but I have, waiting for that moment when it would be important. And by the way, the minute gold starts going up, I always think, I should have had more.
Okay.
I mean, that's human nature.
I have more pedestrian questions for you than this. A text from a listener, when applying for Medicare, we're asked if our employer has 20 or more employees. Can you explain?
Yes, I can. That's one of the little quirks that usually, if you're 65 and you're still working, you're going to delay taking Medicare, at least Medicare Part B, because why pay for that if you're getting similar coverage by your employer? And you won't have to worry about, will I miss the open enrollment? So you work till age 68 and 2 months. Because you're losing your employee health coverage, you can automatically sign up for Medicare at that time, except for one thing. If your employer has fewer than 20 employees, then Medicare pays first and the group health plan pays second. So if you work for a large company, the group health plan pays first and Medicare pays second. And that's, so you might take Part A. But if you have fewer than 20 employees, you must sign up for Medicare Part B, and then the group health plan pays second. It was interesting because the minute you sign up for Medicare, if your company has a health savings account program, you can no longer contribute, even if you're just signing up for Part A.
When you do sign up, though, if you click on I just want A, it puts up a warning message. It says, warning, Will Robinson. It says, if you do this, you'll be totally screwed. You'll be sorry if you don't sign up for B now because you'll pay a penalty down the road and stuff like that. And it doesn't counsel you the way you just did to us that if you're still working and on your company plan with more than 20 employees, then don't sign up for B now. Why would you? But they don't. I don't think they sufficiently counsel people on that.
Yeah, well, they want the money in.
And by the way, the health savings account, Terry, the HSA, you can't contribute to that? Is that what you just said?
This is very interesting. You cannot contribute to a health savings account after you elect Medicare Part A or A and B. You can no longer contribute. You could keep the account and you can use it for medical things, but I think it's silly, but if you have a health savings account, you can no longer contribute to it. And I think they look back 6 months, as I recall. So you can't have made any contributions, allowable contributions, within 6 months.
What if you're on your spouse's insurance?
If you're on your spouse's insurance, your spouse can keep contributing.
Yeah.
I had that question on my blogs. Otherwise, I wouldn't know all these things. But you can keep contributing. Your spouse can keep contributing if the, let's call it the retired spouse, is on Part A or A and B.
And is that the same as a flex plan? What we're talking about is money that
Not a flex spending plan where you use it or lose it by the end of the year, so you run out and buy contact lenses and whatever stuff at the end of the year. No, this is a an account that is set up and accompanied by a high deductible insurance plan. There are a lot of rules for it. Many companies offer them. You can have a pre-tax contribution. Many companies contribute to it. So you build up a sum of money. It's like having another IRA or another 401k kind of a thing, and it can only be spent on health needs.
Okay, here's Rich. You had a question for Terry Savage. Rich, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi, Terry and John. I apologize. I'm having a problem with my phone taking you off a speaker. I'll be real brief.
Okay.
If you would, just a comment. I know that most financial advisors will tell you not to invest more than 2 to 5% into cryptocurrency. If you would have taken that 50 grand 4 years ago and invested in Bitcoin, today it would be worth over $1 million.
Okay.
Yeah, Tesla too.
Okay.
And also a couple of chip companies like NVIDIA. I refuse to use investment and Bitcoin in the same sentence. Hindsight is always 20/20. Believe me, absolutely. If you could go back and knowing what you know now, go do that. And there are people who did it, and there's some very well-known financial gurus who have said right along that they think that Bitcoin was going to double back when it was at 20,000, lower than that. And they're laughing right now all the way to the bank. You're
sure.
Absolutely right.
Well, but hindsight
I'm talking to real people, and I don't like investments that are all or none.
Well, and of those three, electric cars or Bitcoin or chips, it sure seems to me like NVIDIA, in hindsight, I mean, of course would have been the safer bet, the least of the gambles, right?
And yet, 5, 6, 8 years ago, electric cars, come on, where are you going to charge them? And you know, the electricity part of it is still, by the way, that what's going on today about electric cars is, well, maybe hybrid cars. I happen to live in a building where I thought, okay, my next car should be electric. I'll do the right thing. We can't get enough electricity into the building to put in charging stations.
Yeah.
I mean, it would cost a fortune if 4 or 5 of us decided to have electric cars. So.
Okay, I'm going to take another call. This is Tom. You're on WGN. Tom, what's your question? Hi.
Hi. I'm retired, 79. My wife and I have been thinking of taking some of our investment at our local bank. And because of all the uncertainties, all the election and what's going on in the rest of the world, maybe putting $50,000 or $100,000 into like a 5% 13-month CD. Is that a good idea?
Well, sure. I mean, that you're retired. You're now worried not about making your money grow. I think you're probably worried about making your money last as long as you do. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Okay. So right now you can get, let me just look. 1 year T-bills are yielding 4.95%. So a 13-month CD makes perfect sense. You don't pay interest on state income taxes on T-bill interest. That may be a consideration. But yeah, you can go to Treasury Direct and buy T-bills or you can, sure, put some money in a CD. That's what I call chicken money, money you can't afford to lose. Lets you sleep at night.
Okay. The T-bill, I go to what again?
Oh, treasurydirect.gov. Go to terrysavage.com. Look over on the right side about halfway down, and it'll say how to buy T-bills. And there's an article that guides you through it.
And then when they are cashed in, I don't pay?
You don't pay state income taxes. You'll pay federal income taxes on the interest when they mature in 6 months or a year.
Are all states like that, Terry? Are we fortunate in Illinois?
Yeah, T-bills are not subject to state income taxes.
Good luck on that, Tom. More of your questions in a minute. 312-981-7200 for Terry Savage. More business news now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The rolling closure of Walgreens-operated Village MD clinics in Illinois has resulted in dozens of job cuts. Grains reports 50 workers at 2 Chicago-area clinics are losing their jobs. Those clinics are located in Lincoln Park and suburban Wheeling. 25 workers are being cut at each location. The positions include doctors, practice managers, medical assistants, nurses, and technicians. Walgreens is in the process of shutting down all of the Village MD clinics in Illinois, so there will likely be more job cuts in the future. The laid-off workers are getting exit packages. Steelcase Furniture is leaving the Merchandise Mart and moving its Chicago showroom to the Fulton Market District. The company, based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, has leased 28,000 square feet at 811 West Fulton. Steelcase will occupy the showroom there that was previously the home of Miller Knoll Furniture. Steelcase has had its showroom at the Merchandise Mart for 50 years. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Thank you. And if you want to go to a restaurant and have a great meal, you have to come in to Chicago, right?
Absolutely not. We have a lot of great restaurants here.
Where here is and who she is, after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today, there's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. There's never been a better time to save a little money eating out. It is, or has been, Restaurant Week somewhere in our area the past month. Westmont, Elmwood Park, LaGrange, Glen Ellen, Elmhurst, and several other suburban towns have just wrapped up their restaurant weeks. They're still on in Lockport, Rosemont, Batavia, and a bunch of North Side neighborhoods from Andersonville to Uptown, and
Arlington Heights, Elk Grove Village, Itasca, Rolling Meadows, Roselle, Schaumburg, Streamwood, and Wooddale in alphabetical order.
That's Heather Larson of Meat Chicago Northwest, and that's Meat, M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T.
As in meetings.
Although M-E-A-T would work for this week.
For this week, certainly, yes. There's a lot of meat on the menu, I guess.
Well, 'tis the season for restaurant weeks, and there's a reason.
Well, it's actually our slowest time of year, that's why. You know, obviously Valentine's Day is a big draw, and St. Patty's Day is a big draw, Mother's Day. So this is a nice in-between period for us to drive some diners into our restaurants and support them.
Lots of restaurants.
We have 93 restaurants signed up. It's a record-breaking year for us here in the Northwest suburbs. We're very excited. It's actually our 10th anniversary year for Restaurant Week, and we're delighted to have everything from fine dining to counter service. So discounts all across the board. It's also an opportunity for our chefs to get kind of creative with different menus, and there's a lot to be enjoyed.
Heather Larson of Meat Chicago Northwest, where Restaurant Week runs through Sunday. On the food calendar, it's a big day today, National Frozen Food Day. It's National White Chocolate Cheesecake Day and National Oreo Cookie Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage, more calls for you. Anything else you want to get in first?
Yeah, I think we're overlooking a headline. There are two headlines today. The first is Fed Chairman Powell testifying in front of Congress, saying he's still worried about inflation and the market revising its estimates of when they might cut or how many times they'll cut this year. And the Dow's rebounded a couple hundred points. It's not disturbing the market. But the other one is disturbing me and should disturb us all. New York Community Bancorp tumbles 40% and is halted as troubled bank reportedly seeking cash infusions. It's a big bank. It's a mid-sized bank, but a big mid-sized bank. Did a lot of lending in the commercial real estate field. And they've been in the headlines for the last few months, but the shares are down 42%. Trading is halted. The question is, what will happen now? Will their own stock and bonds have been downgraded to junk status? And what we're seeing, have you seen, I mean, I read cranes all the time, and we have cranes on the air. This bank, or this building, I should say, or that building is being sold for less,
right?
By, 50% less than they refinanced it 4 years ago and so forth. Walking away from the mortgage on this and such and bank and taking it over and trying to do this with LaSalle Street and commercial buildings all over. Well, the banks that made those loans have to take losses. And that started with Silicon Valley Bank, but they had owned treasury notes, very secure, just locked in at too low a rate. So that was their problem. There was concern that would spread to mid-sized banks. I'm not trying to start a run on banks. Your deposits are insured. There's a link at terrysavage.com right next to T-bills about FDIC insurance. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that this commercial real estate prices falling as people don't go back to the office is now starting to be felt in the banking system. And I will say that I think that might be one more little thing, but just a little thing, but the concern about the banking exposure to commercial real estate will be one more thing that would have sent gold up.
Terry, I need a short answer to this. You ready?
Okay.
Hey, Terry, my CPA wants me to take my SSI now at 68 years old and invest it rather than wait until I'm 70. I can afford to wait until 70, but he tells me I'd do better taking it now and investing it in the market. Help!
Oh, smoke is coming out my ears, and I
know,
have earphones on.
That's why I need a short answer.
Oh, look. Get another CPA. First of all, he shouldn't be talking to you about investments. He's a CPA. Tell him to go invest his own money. You're going to get 8% a year guaranteed. It'll be a higher base for your future cost of living increases, and there's a 50-50 chance that the market will go down as up. You've got a guaranteed sure 8% a year
if you can
increase
wait 2 years.
In your benefits. Just don't listen to him. That's just so uninformed.
Okay, here comes Jim. You're on WGN on line number 5, right? Jim, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hi, John.
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
Yep. Question. I'm going to turn 70, and I'm going to get, I got a letter from Social Security saying, and I still work full time, that I should apply for my Social Security benefit. Is that true, or is that a false statement by Social Security?
No. You cannot. You don't get any more money if you delay past age 70. So you should take it at 70. But Social Security, according to my co-author Larry Kotlikoff, has been running a scam saying, hey, we'll give you a credit if you start now at 69 and a half. You must make sure that you apply in advance, about a month, but you make sure that your Social Security benefit does not start until after your 70th birthday. Make sure you get that in writing from them. And then, yes, take it, because there's no benefit to delaying after you're 70.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. 312 says, help. I'm still working, and I just turned 65, and everyone I know told me I had to apply for Medicare, even if I'm not going to use it, so I did. Does that mess up my FSA?
Not your Flex Service Plan, but your health savings account if you have it at work. And you did not have to apply for Medicare Part A or B if you are covered at work, unless your employer has fewer than 20 employees. And you can rescind that because A is free, so you might as well sign up, no big deal. Unless you work for a small company, then you must. But B, you're going to get a monthly premium taken out, or you'll have to pay the bill for it until you suddenly later on take Social Security and have it taken out. So why pay if you've already got the comparable coverage at work? So you need to go back to Medicare and find out, why would you be taking Medicare Part B if you've got the same coverage at work?
Well, it doesn't say Part B. It says, help, I'm working and just turned 65, and everyone I know said I had to apply for Medicare, even if I'm not going to use it. But do you suffer a penalty if you apply for Part A in that case and not Part B?
You cannot contribute to a health savings
account if you've done even just A.
Even if you have Part A, which costs you nothing. And there's no you go ahead and sign up for Part A unless you're contributing to a health savings account. That would be the reason not to sign it. But nobody has to sign up for Medicare as long as they've got comparable coverage at work, unless they work for a company with fewer than 20 employees.
I'm glad we spent the time on that. That's a good point we haven't made in my memory. So thank you for that. And Terry, lots of calls, lots of texts. We'll have to do more of this next Wednesday.
Absolutely.